This is Author Talk, brought to you by Author House, the leading provider of services to help authors publish, promote, and sell their books. Author Talk is produced by TogiNet Radio, on the web at toginet.com.
The title of the book, Relational Triumph, Solving Relational Stress and Building Relational Success. And the author, Jerry Gertsen. And Jerry joins us now on Author Talk. Hello, Jerry.
Hi there, Stephen.
Well, let's read a few things. I'm going to just set the stage for our discussion for everyone. You say this, relationships are the best of times and worst of times. There seems to be no getting around the fact that we get stressed out with people we relate to and love. This book will help you understand yourself under relational stress and guide you through steps that can transform your way of thinking, feeling, and behaving. It will also help you to put your finger on why other people react the way they do and help you with new responses to old problems. We certainly need all the help we can get. I'm sure you have experienced that, Jerry. You've been at this for, what, 25 years?
Yeah, 21, 22 years I've been a therapist.
And seeing, obviously, a multitude of people and probably just about every different kind of stress.
Yeah, that's right. As a therapist, I spend a lot of time with people who aren't sure if they can actually have a satisfying relationship. One of the things that motivated me to write this book was a couple years ago, I was contemplating going back to school to further my education so that I could get more tools to help people and end up taking a little side detour and wrote a book instead.
Well, because we're dealing with some basic principles that you have carved out for us and put into in a way of thinking that we can all relate to.
That's a good comment because, you know, I looked inside my own life, actually, when I was contemplating going for further education, I began to sort of look back at what I already knew about building good relationships, and I decided that I had a few things to offer because these things actually have proven to be helpful for me as well as countless people over the years. And so I thought, well, I'm going to try my hand at writing. In essence, you know, I learned that people, as they communicate through their stress particularly, every communication is like a transaction where we're either making deposits or withdrawals from people. And the more withdrawals we make, the more stress goes up, and vice versa. The more stress that goes up, the more likely we're to make withdrawals from those we care about. And it always seems like the first step is the hardest, just simply admitting that we have a problem. And you know, one thing I do know about problem transformation is that we can't change it if we don't know what it is, and we'll never know what it is if we don't know how to look for it or where to find it. So that's basically what I wanted to do, is give people an opportunity to examine themselves and begin to look at what is the underlying reasons for our stress in our relationships and how to change that.
That's probably the most frustrating part of any kind of relationship, when you realize that there's some difficulty between two people, or there's what, as you're pointing out, this stress level, and don't know how to change it. And so what you're trying to do is help us better understand, like you talk about stress roles and why they exist. What are stress roles?
Well, stress, that's a great question. Stress roles have to do with like a drama. Think about it as a presentation on a stage. You know, you're sitting in school and you're watching your children do the Christmas pageant or something like that, and each person has a role. When stress goes up in our relationships, people begin to assign themselves to various roles that interact and counteract one another throughout the drama. And these three stress roles that I present in this book, they're actually quite common, and they're not original from me. It was formed by a doctor by the name of Stephen Karpman, and so he talked a lot about the roles of the rescuer, the victim, and the persecutor, and I felt that his material just didn't have enough publicity, and I also thought I had some unique perspectives and angles to present on it, just to be able to help people succeed in becoming aware of themselves and others on that stage, that drama stage of life, and learning how to play this out a little differently so that people can find success instead of feeling like they're running into a dead end.
Because as in using this drama setting on stage, we can change the script.
Great point. You're absolutely right. We have control over ourselves, over how we think and how we feel. And so we can make assignments to ourselves that change our script. And when we change the way we talk and the way we behave, other people around us can't stay the same. They automatically have to make an adjustment to their script as well.
Well, you talk about these stress roles. Now, how do we choose a different role, I guess? If we're choosing some kind of a stress role, how do we, you know, become what you said, the rescuer instead of the victim?
Well, the idea actually is to not be in any of those three stress roles. In the book, later on in the book, in chapters 10, 11, 12, I present an idea that these stress roles are simply a distortion of something that is good and decent in us. Let me take, for example, the role of the rescuer. The rescuer tends to be excessively helpful. They tend to put themselves last, and they become hyper alert, hyper-vigilant, hyper-responsible for other people around them. They tend to do things above and beyond the call of duty. And the rescuer, over time, gets very tired, exhausted, feels hurt, eventually might turn into the raging persecutor or the downtreaded victim. But the rescuer, in his or her original healthy state, is more of a helper type of person. They actually enjoy and get pleasure and feel fulfilled out of performing tasks and looking after needs. So oftentimes when people are in their rescuing role, it's because the stress around them made them feel like things are falling out of control. And so then they take more control by being hypervigilant, hyperactive, and just excessive, taking their God-given natural abilities and talents to a level that is synonymous with just too much of a good thing. And so that person who's in the rescuer role needs to be able to see themselves, first of all, as being that excessive, expressing themselves in an excessive way, and then learn to dial back and become more of their natural self.
Now, you talk about the word boundaries. It's become common in our culture. How are boundaries an important aspect to healthy human interaction? I guess it's what you're talking about right now, aren't you? Kind of just dialing back?
Absolutely. Let me tell you a story. I think that might be the best way to
okay.
describe boundaries here. Laura, one of my favorite people, she would do nearly anything to avoid conflict, to help others, to put herself last at the and make sure everybody around her was happy and content. One of the places in her life that was particularly troublesome was the relationship with her brother, who was very judgmental and angry, and she would do anything she could to avoid his anger, his judgmentalism, and so on. She began wearing a mask that presented herself as loving and caring and accommodating for him. But underneath the mask, she was growing tired, she was growing angry, fatigued, and so on. She needed to, first of all, begin to understand that the relationship was toxic between her and her brother. And part of the toxicity in relationships that I'm finding now in our culture has to do with communication. We have so many communication devices now. We can text, we can email. There are very few, if any, natural barriers in the way we connect with one another. And her brother, for example, getting back to the story of Laura, her brother lived over 2,000 miles away, and he could, by a few touches on his keyboard or a text on his by texting with their Blackberries, he could distress Laura something fierce, and she would turn into this distorted rescuing caregiver for him. But inside, she was feeling excessively annoyed. And so learning how to respond to her brother required, first of all, her knowing and understanding what her needs were. And so she began to take an inventory of what it is she wanted that could be different in that relationship. And out of that, she was able to learn some practical ways of handling this. For example, one of the strategies that we took was for her to not respond immediately to her brother's emails. The habit of a rescuer is typically, I have to deal with it now. It's a response out of urgency. And after exercising the strength of waiting for several days to think over what she wanted to say to him, she was able to respond more honestly, more clearly. Her old masks of fear and so on dropped to the wayside, and she was able to find self-respect. And after that, her brother also began to respect her because she was able to tell him how she honestly felt instead of putting on that mask.
What part does spirituality play in the process of building and maintaining healthy relationships?
Well, there's various studies done that people who follow a spiritual author in their life tend to have a calming effect in their life. They tend to have lower blood pressure, and they tend to be more at peace and have more serenity. I think some studies have even indicated that maybe they live a little bit longer than others. So I think there's importance to look at. It's important to look at the spiritual elements of a person's life and how that can bring a comforting and a soothing element into the relationship. And I think also another level is to understand that if we have a higher purpose, if we are spiritual beings and we have a meaning in life beyond just ourself and in this living in this moment, we can let go of control a little bit better and understand that God has things under His management. And there are certain things, like the prayer of serenity, there are certain things that we can control, certain things that we can't control, and we need to learn to know the difference between them.
We all have heard the term fight or flight, but you're saying that we don't have to make some huge reaction or response. We can just make a little kind of a shift. Tell us about this small degree shift view of the world.
Yeah, sometimes if we shift just 2 or 3 degrees, it looks very small at the beginning, but over time, the trajectory is very different from where it would have been going had we not made that shift. And so changing, like Laura did, just changing a couple of strategies in her way of responding to her brother made a big difference in her own happiness. Her own level of contentment and serenity. It also made a big difference in her brother's reactions to her. She was no longer dependent on him to make her feel better. She learned how to make herself feel better by treating herself better instead of waiting for him to treat her better.
Well, we're so used to being knocked off balance by relational struggles, and you're just trying to give us a just to kind of step back, right, and take a view of what's really going on and then learn how to deal with it in a very different way.
That's right. I think some people stay in toxic relationships that either don't need to be toxic if we changed our approach, or we need to simply make a change of relationship entirely. And for those situations, it's often more trying and stressful, and it requires a little bit more mindfulness. But in a nutshell, I think that this book helps people to learn to first be a student of themselves in whatever situation they are in, and it empowers them to take the next step to do something proactive and meaningful that will actually change the dynamic of a relationship that's under stress.
And your book is not filled with technical jargon.
It is not. I think relational triumph is a fairly easy read for the ordinary person. I had one client who told me at the early stages of writing the book, when I told him what I was doing, he said, "You got to keep it simple so that guys like me can read it." And I think that was accomplished to some degree. It also has some really good work along the way. Like, for people who really want to dig into the content, there's questions and there's ideas that they can follow up on and put into practice immediately along the way.
The title of the book, Relational Triumph: Solving Relational Stress and Building Relational Success. The author, Jerry Gertson. Jerry, tell us how to get your book.
Well, the book can be found on Amazon. It can be purchased at Chapters or Barnes & Noble. You can go to my website, relational-triumph.com, and purchase it there. It can be purchased hardcover, softcover, and in an e-book format. So I hope people will buy it, because I think it's worth the investment.
Well, congratulations on publishing your book. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you very much.